Today's December 18th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $100,731.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Oh man, Rick, if only we would have recorded yesterday, we would have been recording at a new all-time high again.
Yeah, but you know what? That's Bitcoin.
Indeed.
And we don't necessarily pick the days that we record. And if we would have had too many going up all-time highs, it would have set the wrong narrative for us and our viewers.
Yeah, for anybody that ever listens to us that has been in the cryptocurrency space, like, there have been episodes where we are just like consistently down. We did have a nice little run there over the past couple of episodes where we actually had increases from episode to episode. I think we've actually had a string of those lately, but yeah.
Basically since the new election, it's been up until now.
Yeah. And even now, I mean, we're still at $100,000 Bitcoin.
Exactly. And, you know, we're moping about it. See, you're getting greedy.
We are getting greedy. And that's the thing. Like, it's so weird because, like, 100,000 felt like it was, like, I feel numb to the 100,000. Like, I'm excited about it in one way. But the other part of me is just like, well, okay, well, when's 200,000? Or when's 150,000, you know?
Exactly. No, and it sounds so ridiculous coming out of your mouth, but that's kind of what your brain goes to in this market or in this space.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, I don't know.
Absolutely. So we obviously we've had a little bit of a drop down in price. Where are we sitting with our theoretical buys?
Okay. Theoretical purchases back in October, put $3,000 down. That $3,000 is 0.0885 Bitcoin. At today's price, it's down just a hair. It's still doing pretty good, 89.15.
And that was October almost, of 23, right?
Yes, October 2023, correct. The second theoretical purchase is right at the halving, April 19th. And $1,000 would have netted you 0.01564 Bitcoin. And today's price, that $1,000 is now worth $1,575.
Nice. It's not too shabby. I mean, they're both very solid returns. Honestly, we were kind of talking about that before we started getting recording. Like, I don't think there's anything else that you could have purchased other than MicroStrategy, maybe, that could have gotten.
Well, MicroStrategy was getting hammered there for a little bit too. So,
yeah. Well, and then I think part of what happens too is that it's part of Saylor's plan is that he sells at the height of the stock to buy more Bitcoin.
Right.
So he tanks the price of the stock to get cash to buy more Bitcoin and then increases the stock price again.
When it evens out, right?
Yeah.
Or when it takes off a little bit more than it's all good.
Absolutely. And then when we were looking at the ETF flows before we kind of got recording too, and that's why part of me is like, you know what, whatever is happening right now, like the market's going to get back and be like, oh yeah, we want to make money. I mean, the flows are solid. When we look at this over the past, we had a red day today, but we still don't have IBITS numbers. So 84 million sold out today. But when you look at that, that's 353 million, 678 million, 556 million. Like, that's every 2 days is over $1 billion, basically.
Yeah. No, IBIT's been putting in some strong numbers. We don't have their data for today, but looks like a lot of the other exchanges or ETFs are not doing so great, but IBIT's always been carrying the day.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and of course, Grayscale is still bleeding, like, just nonstop. Yesterday they just had to be positive by 17 million. The 11th, 20 million. Other than that, they're just bleeding out. So, yeah, there was, We're in a world of weirdness right now, especially going into the holiday season.
Indeed.
UAPs off New Jersey, is that where they're all at? I guess they're all over the country, right?
Well, I've heard all the country, but they were definitely pretty, definitely New Jersey and just the East Coast is where they're mostly at.
What are some of the theories you're hearing? Like, what's going on here?
I don't know. Where do you start? I mean, how deep the rabbit hole do you want to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like a purity test for your conspiracy theory, you know, rabbit holeness. You know, do you believe in Project Blue Bean or whatever else? I mean, the most reasonable thing seems to be that maybe they have some type of gamma radiation detectors on there and they're looking for some type of nuclear weapon. I don't know. That seems more reasonable, but who knows?
Yeah, I saw an interview with a guy. I don't know if you saw that episode yet with Joe Rogan, where they were talking about that. And he's like, no, I don't think it's a nuke. But, I mean, that's the thing. Like, he used to work for the government. So who knows what he's feeding us?
Right.
And, I mean, you're not going to sit there and honestly just tell people, oh, yeah, they know there's a nuke missing. Or nuclear material missing somewhere in the United States. Oh, great. He was saying that the UAPs are coming from out somewhere out to sea, coming inland on shore, flying for 5 hours at a time or something like that, and then going back. But they're not saying, I'm like, how does the United States not know where they're originating from?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure if they were hostile, they'd probably be shooting them out of the sky.
Yeah.
They're probably ours. So
that would be my guess.
And the one thing that's not too deep in the conspiracy theory is PSYOP.
Yeah.
Right? I've heard this PSYOP. It's like, yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. But what angle are they going at for this one?
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to wait till you get the official response that's going to, in some way, increase the power of the government, or if it does happen to be like a Project Bluebeam type thing, like if the aliens are so advanced, which, I mean, nothing looks like it's alien anyways. Everything looks like it's drones from what I understand. But if it does end up being like aliens, then if the aliens are only able to talk to us through our government, then that sounds like that's a problem because they should be aware that our government's kind of wonky.
Yeah, if they're advanced enough to get out here, they should figure out that our government's really messed up. Probably not the people you want to be talking to.
We worship you, government overlords. We worship you. Do not debank us. It's just such a wild time. And, you know, the other thing that we had that kind of rocked the markets a little bit this week was, well, and I want to just basically just say that, like, reiterate with the UAP drone thing, whatever that thing is, just be as critical thinking about it as possible. And if the government has any way to overreach and take more power, just be aware of that, right? Like there's something definitely fishy going on if that's the case.
For sure.
The other weird thing that we had that would kind of brought down the price a little bit with Bitcoin was Google's Willow, their quantum computing chip kind of put people into a little bit of a frenzy, a little bit of a scare tactic there for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's technically one thing that people are afraid of with Bitcoin. I mean, if there's some type of quantum computing, maybe it could crack Bitcoin and ruin it. I mean, that's a legitimate fear.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for the most part, well, and it's hard to judge how far out that stuff is, but it's not on the immediate horizon for it to be able to be done that way. Most of the stuff that I've seen is saying, you know, it's not the right kind of tool for the job, but that doesn't mean as quantum computing advances that it couldn't eventually become that.
Right.
But at the same time, Bitcoin can be upgraded to fight against it as well.
Yeah, just go to SHA. What would we go to?
Would it be 512?
I
don't know if that's right. I don't know. Right. Yeah, I don't know if that's exactly how it goes. I don't know what the next step would be.
My math ain't mathing right now. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and from what I understand, the upgrade would be kind of laborious to actually make it happen. But if you get everybody to agree, you get the consensus going, it can be done. But yeah, it's not. I don't know. I don't know how far away we are from something like that. I think if they said it's going to take at least 1 million qubits to be able to crack Bitcoin, and the first thing they'd probably go after would be Satoshi's wallet, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think they're at maybe 5 qubits, maybe 3 right now, which, I mean, given, you know, like with computer stuff like that, like it should advance exponentially in some way, but.
Well, yeah. The one thing, though, is everything else is also protected by SHA-256. So the things that I'm most worried about would be like nuclear launch codes and that kind of stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong, Bitcoin's something I'm near and dear to my heart, but there's other things that could really wreck our world outside of that.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, there are other fish to fry out there in that sense. And one of the things that I thought was kind of mind-blowing when we were talking about this and kind of going in with the drone UAP, whatever that thing is they're saying, like, the theoretical physicists are actually saying that the quantum chip, the reason why it's getting so accurate and so quick is because it's running in alternate universes at the same time.
Yes. Yeah, I heard that too, and I was just like, did I hear that right? Really? It's going out into the parallel universes at once and going to, and doing that computing, which, wow, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's like, to me, what that makes me think when I hear that is that other parallel universes are creating these quantum chips at the same time and that they're working together with these other quantum chips that exist.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's what I
put
in my head.
I don't know how this works, really. It just, all I can say is that we are definitely on the most interesting timeline.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with you at all. So, yeah, I don't think that I have too much more to say about that other than don't worry about the quantum computing thing right now. We've got some time before that's actually an issue. But Bitcoin at the same time, like I'm sure that the developers on the back end probably are really thinking about that and thinking about ways that we can get an upgrade in place for that. So we do have time. It is a ticking clock, but it's a little bit further off than what we may be thinking. Now, the other thing that happened today, like there was a lot of hype going into the news cycle today because the Fed announced their meeting minutes and their reduction in interest rates, right?
Right.
So what did we drop by?
25 basis points or 0.25%.
And you were saying something before we kind of got going to that there was something that when there's 3 cuts.
Yes.
It's typically not good for the market.
Yeah. Generally speaking, during some type of ramp up in the markets is the bull run keeps going through 2 rate cuts, but we've just done our 3rd one, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was our previous one back in?
I think it was there September. One
in September, and then there was one in October.
Was it October? Oh, no, right. Was it the one in September? And then I can't remember.
I don't know. There, in the past few months, there's been 3 rate cuts and one, nothing happened.
Yeah.
But, generally speaking, after the 3rd rate cut, that seems to signal that the top is in on a bull market. So, I mean, does that mean, you know, the S&P is going to tank and that's going to be it? I'm not saying that, but it's just, generally speaking, that's what happens. So, well, that remains to be seen. But it's just an interesting food for thought.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's, you know, I still don't think that we're at the top of the Bitcoin bull run, but is it possible? Sure. Anything's possible. I mean, nothing says that we have to follow exactly. It's just, I don't know. It feels like it's too soon, but at the same time, like everything's slightly different. It's just everything seems so similar to previous bull runs at the same time.
Everything is very similar to previous bull runs. I mean, we were almost getting a little bit pessimistic with how long it was taking to finally take that lift off in November after the election. But, you know, when I just look at what's happened to America, at least just looking at it from, you know, my perspective as an American, this administration has been very destructive to everything about, you know, our economy, our borders, just everything is just in the trash. And so I'm just wondering if, you know, that 18 and a half year real estate cycle, I've mentioned that before, and usually we wouldn't be due for a correction until sometime late 2025, early, you know, sometime 2026. But maybe that's been pushed up a little bit on the schedule. I don't know.
Yeah. Did you see the report that came out of Zillow?
No.
That they were actually expecting, like, the Southwest to actually continue to increase in housing prices over in the Southwest. Like, we were going to be a hot market in the Southwestern area. But we'll see. I mean, it all depends on what, you know, the supply looks like. I think one of the big things has been people have been listing their homes for ridiculous amounts of money just to kind of see if people bite.
Right.
And so I think you've started to see a lot of people having to reduce prices so that way they can actually sell their homes. I don't know. Zillow's kind of predicting that we'll see a kind of a return. It'll become a buyer's market in 2025, which would mean that prices are going to go down, right? But that certain areas, certain markets are going to be hot because housing is more affordable there than elsewhere. And I think the Southwest was definitely one of those that was listed. I was pulling up a chart here, and it looks like in August we went from 5.5% from the Fed interest rate to 5% in September. And then October held steady. And then we saw one in November to 4.75 and now December. So that's where we got our cuts at. But yeah, one of the other things that Jerome Powell had stated too was that the Fed cannot hold Bitcoin. We're not allowed to own Bitcoin. The Federal Reserve Act says that we can, that what we can own, and we're not looking for a law to change. Powell said at Wednesday's press conference, that's kind of a big thing for Congress to consider. But we are not looking for a law change at the Fed. So.
Well, I think if the government's going to own some Bitcoin, I wouldn't exactly use the Federal Reserve to do that. So.
No, their strategic reserve holding would not be tied in with the Fed, right? Like, and who would want to, I mean, Powell's already said that he wouldn't listen to Trump anyways, like that he doesn't have to. Right?
Right.
So
I'm stuck in a pretty game. We'll see how it goes when Trump's actually in office.
Yeah, he kind of did kowtow to him whenever Trump was in office before.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know we talked about that, where he increased interest rates and Trump just went ballistic.
Yeah, no, he, remember the old Twitter days when he was blasting people? He was blasting Jerome Powell on Twitter. And it was just kind of funny. And, you know, at the time we're like, I don't disagree with Jerome Powell. I mean,
yeah,
things are crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Trump really likes it. He likes low interest rates, but he also wants high-priced Bitcoin. And he wants all sorts of different things. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I don't know. It'll be kind of interesting to see how things kind of play out. I think there's a lot kind of on the agenda. I mean, an interest rate cut's still an interest rate cut. I do think the markets will rally somewhat. I think they were kind of shocked. And the other thing that Powell talked about was that they were going to slow down the interest rate cuts into 2025. They need to keep some of that interest rate high just because if something does break, that's really the only option they have is to print money or cut interest rates, right?
Well, they usually do both.
Yeah. So yeah. They'll want to keep that. They want to keep the interest rates where they can at least make some movements on them if they need to.
They leave themselves some breathing room as it is.
Yeah.
I agree.
absolutely.
So, yeah, I think they're going to pause for a while. I mean, that's what they're saying, and I kind of believe them. So,
yeah, I wouldn't expect we'd see anything else until maybe second quarter next year, maybe even third quarter. I don't know.
Well, unless the economy really does take a dive after this third interest rate cut.
Well, and we'll have to see what happens when Trump takes office, too. Like, I don't know. Be interesting to, it'll be interesting for sure. Like, I don't know. I expect inflation is going to continue. That's one thing that, you know, people may get mad when I say this, but I mean, the inflation that happened under Biden would have happened under Trump as well. They were both spending like crazy. So, and you can't just helicopter money to people and not expect to pay the consequences for it later.
Right.
So, but anything else you wanted to bring up tonight?
That's it for me.
If we do not talk to y'all beforehand, whatever your belief may be, or, you know, merry whatever. That's what I'm going to say. Merry whatever and have a happy new year. Merry Christmas.
It's Kwanzaa for me, dog.
Kwanzaa Hut. Yeah. Merry Christmas. Have a happy new year. If you are still buying Bitcoin during this time, which, I mean, I always think it's a good time to buy Bitcoin, and you want to do self-custody, you can get yourself a Ledger or an Alipal directly off our website, and that's at www.thebitbytepodcast.com. And also the newsletter.
Yeah, that's right. And I have an interesting newsletter that I'm working on. It's talking about the best time to buy and sell Bitcoin. And it's basically right around the halving. 500 days beforehand, 500 days sell, 500 days afterwards, and this tends to be the best times to do that. So we'll take a look at the historical thing and then what date that would look like if we followed that pattern this year.
Oh, that'd be kind of an interesting read. I may want to know. No.
That's right.
Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to y'all soon.
Bye.